You are listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner profiles the mastermind behind the Battle of Mansfield.
Today marks the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Mansfield. The sesquicentennial is a time of reflection and commemoration. For students of that time, so long ago, a single individual stands out. The hero of the Red River campaign, from the Southern view, of course, was General Richard Taylor, who was a child of privilege. His father, Zachary Taylor, was a hero of the Mexican War and became President of the United States. Richard was extraordinarily intelligent and studious, but sickly. He suffered from rheumatoid arthritis, a condition that would eventually kill him, but not before he achieved greatness. Taylor's poor health forced him into a life of academics, one that suited him very well. He was an avid historian and particularly enjoyed military history and the Latin and Greek classics. Studious and well-connected, Richard had no problem entering Yale University, where his studies followed the classical regimen of the day. During the Mexican War, he briefly served with his father as an aide, but his health would not allow him to follow the campaigns. His sister, Sarah Knox Taylor, met and married Jefferson Davis, a dashing Army officer, while the family was stationed in Texas. Davis later became Secretary of War, a senator from Mississippi, and finally, President of the Confederate States of America. Shortly after their marriage, Sarah contracted a fever and died, but Davis and Richard Taylor remained lifelong friends. Taylor became a successful planter in southern Louisiana, owning Fashion Plantation. As national politics became ever more volatile during the 1850s, he found himself near the center of Southern attitudes. When war broke out, he formed a regiment which was among the first units to travel to Virginia and fight under his cousin, Robert E. Lee. Taylor saw actions in the Shenandoah Valley and distinguished himself, learning the military arts, not under his father, but under Stonewall Jackson. Taylor requested a command in Louisiana to defend his adopted state. President Davis approved the request, and he returned as commander of the District of Western Louisiana. Taylor's training under Stonewall Jackson and his love of reading the lives of the great commanders made him realize that swift movement and panache were superior tactics as opposed to holding up in fortified areas and waiting for the enemy. These were tactics he used in campaigns in southern Louisiana in 1863 and in 1864 when he decided to halt the Union advance as they attempted to capture Shreveport. On April 8th, Taylor decided to make a stand 3 miles below the town of Mansfield at a place called Honeycutt Hill. He arrayed his men in the shape of the letter L, from tip to tip spanning 3 miles with its center at the only available road. The Union Army was forced to jam into a smaller L and clog that road with their wagon train. This Confederate victory was the last major win for the South in the Civil War. Taylor was suffering from an acute attack of arthritis that day, and just before the battle he rallied his men, encouraging them to fight for their homes and their families. Most students of this battle have missed the major point of Taylor's plan. I have studied this campaign and the Battle of Mansfield for years, and there was something hauntingly familiar about the Confederate array of units, but I could not quite recognize what it was. Then, one day, as I was positioning the regiments on a map for the State Historic Site at Mansfield, I realized that Taylor's love of ancient history was played out in his greatest victory. The attack plan and distribution of forces was a replay of Hannibal's defeat of a major Roman army at the Battle of Cannae. It was Hannibal's greatest victory, as Mansfield was Taylor's. With a love of history, Richard Taylor made history, and this is clear evidence that history matters.